All right, hello and welcome. I'm Heather.
I'm Laura.
And we're Sweet Sweet Death. Laura, you have some big plans for tomorrow.
Yes, I get my tattoo. I'm super nervous.
Yes, you talked about wanting to throw up earlier.
Yeah,
I don't know. No, it's just your arm. It's okay. Yeah. Like, it'll go well. Like, yeah. You take pain really well. Like, yeah. You've had your septum pierced. You've got other tattoos. You got tattooed on your foot.
Yeah.
And you said it felt like he was just... they're scratching, like it, yeah, was like nothing. Yeah, I had my foot tattooed for 3 hours and I almost tapped out.
Really?
Almost.
Was it worse than your arm?
I don't know how to answer.
I feel
that
like it's one of those things when you really want it, you're just like, I get through it.
So far I will say it's been about the same. It's been about this. My arm felt about as painful. Well, I guess it wasn't as bad because he went 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 5 hours one time, one day, and then the next day went another 5 hours. So like that second day, the pain was a lot worse, yeah, than the first day. So it's hard to gauge, but like that, the foot tattoo, because he did a thin outline of everything. It's just like a really kind of filigree type thing on my foot. But like he did a thin outline and then he went in with fat outline, like over all the thin lines. So he agitated all the skin and then came over it with a fatter tattoo and then did all the shading on, yikes, top of like, yeah, swollen. It was just like terrible.
Yeah.
But he does beautiful work, but I did almost tap out after about 3 hours. Cause you said you sat for about 3 hours,
yeah,
too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was like, it wasn't bad.
Yeah. See, I was ready to like cry. Okay. I was literally like, I don't know how much longer, yeah, I can take this.
Yeah, towards that like end of like the 3 hours, I started to feel like but I think it was more just I wanted to like move around and like, yeah, I was just like this is annoying.
It's uncomfortable.
Yeah, but yeah, I think I'll be fine. Everyone keeps like, my dad keeps like doing this weird thing where he's like joking about like I shouldn't do it, but also like, oh no, it'll be great. Then he's like, oh, like I really don't think you should do it. Then he's like, but no, it's cool. Like,
what I'm, is
like,
he doing?
I'm like, Dad, okay, I don't care. Like.
Hell no, you do it for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then talking to my mom today, she's like, you're graffitiing your body. And I was like, oh my God.
You're like, no, I'm decorating it. It's like I'm in school and I've got a notebook and I got a bunch of stickers and I, yeah, stuck it all over.
She's like, because she was like, oh, what if like on your wedding day, like, you know, you're going to be in this beautiful dress and then you're just going to have that ugly thing on your arm. And I was like, Mom.
You're like, no, I'm getting a sleeve. Like,
yeah, that's what I told her. I was like, I'm getting a sleeve. She's like, oh, God. And then I was like, I'm not getting married, so don't worry.
Yeah. Like, that's so funny. I will save you from that shame and, yeah, I'll never get married. Yeah. So take that, mother.
Yeah.
Yeah, because my mom, I don't remember if I've talked about it on the podcast. I know I've told you, but like, you know, when we were in Texas and where every time I would bring up the tattoo, because my parents came too, yeah, just to hang out with and like watch Mary and stuff. And every time I'd bring up the tattoo, my mom would like be like, yeah, every fucking time.
So funny.
Every time. It was so, restaurants, the rooms, so out in public. She'd be like, it's not too late. Oh, she's, God, the same,
so
way.
So funny, yeah.
My parents are very reserved. My dad, I think it bothers him, but he's like, you're an adult. You can do what you want.
Yeah.
But my mom will be like, I'll pray for you.
So funny. Yeah, I think it's just like, I don't know. I feel like tattoos are more accepted now than they used to be. Like,
so much more accepted. I think they said at least 25% of people have tattoos, yeah, in this country, or that's like an age range. I don't know, but it's the number.
Yeah,
the numbers aren't important.
Yeah.
What's important to know is that the movement is growing.
Yes.
Well, like when you hear people are tattoo artists, like you want to see their work, yeah, like you get excited, like, ooh, what can you do?
Yeah,
yeah, I found like a new tattoo page on, ooh, Facebook. I was like, oh, they're giving away like these. I don't remember. It was like these, you know, like discounted, spend $250 for 6 hours, yeah, of work or something like that. It was like, oh, that's awesome. Yeah. And then I looked at their tattoos and I was like, yeah, no,
yeah,
I don't need to buy any. Yeah. I don't need to buy any tickets from there.
Yeah, that's like when it was like, why don't you get like your tattoos done by like one of Siku's artists? And I was like,
by who?
Her boyfriend, and he has, oh, like, no, all these really horrible, no, tattoos, like, and I was just like, Like, his tattoos are really bad.
Yeah.
And then she's like laughing. I was like, don't tell him I said that. She's like, I won't. He would be really sad.
Yeah. Well, remember, I just remember when Zach was telling me, like, oh, Kyle says that he's got a homie that could do it for $250. And it's like, I've looked at this tattoo so many times. Yeah. I love this tattoo. That is, if he could do that, he would not be doing it for $250. Yeah. If he had that level of talent, he wouldn't be a fucking scratcher.
You'll be on one of those fucking
pages. Please fix my tattoo, tattoo nightmare stories. Yeah, I love those also.
Even like people, when I've been telling them how much it's going to cost, they're like, my tattoo was $75.
And like, I'm like, I know. I'm shocked you paid that much for it. Yeah, like, dude, it just bothers me. Damn it. Like, we have to go so far to find good tattoo artists.
It really is annoying.
Every time someone compliments this tattoo, the follow-up question is, was that done here? And I'll be like, no, I got it done in Dallas. And they'll always be like, oh, they get so mad. And it's not that we don't have good tattoo artists. Just my styles in particular.
Yeah.
Are not anywhere near what anybody's doing.
And even
here.
Like, I mean, like, honestly, like, I've seen other people who, you know, I'd probably prefer, but like, I think this guy is good and like, I think he'll do good, but.
Dude, yeah, like, no, his work, that's amazing. He does great work. And actually, I'm surprised I never came across him because that was like really stellar work.
Yeah, so I'm excited. But
yeah. Because like, I don't know. Okay, so the tattoo I got was by Zach Singer, but like, my style, the surrealist stuff, realism. Arlo Di Cristina is in Grand Junction, and I want to go so bad to get a tattoo by that guy. Just like world class shit, man. Like I'm so lucky that one of them is in Colorado. But yeah, it's like you gotta have go on a year long waiting list and make sure you've got like $5,000 saved up to get a tattoo by these people.
Yep.
I think that's why I'm largely untattooed, is because so I just expensive. Don't have the money.
Yeah, that's how I feel too.
Well, and like some people, they like want to just get a tattoo to get a tattoo. And like, well, don't get me wrong, I do as well, but I don't know. It's just, I want the quality of work to be there. It's on for the rest of my life.
Yeah,
like,
literally.
I'd rather not be tattooed until I can afford to get a good tattoo.
Yeah.
And if that means I stay untattooed the rest of my life, so be it. Like, I'd rather have no tattoos than a bad one.
That's how I feel too. I gotta start saving. I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah. For, the beginning, so how I started last week, the family as a whole, John, Mary, and I, we had 30 toes between all of us. As of Friday, we have 29 and a half toes. So John has lost half his toe.
Oh my God.
It started like three weeks back, maybe. Like he had an infection on his toe. It looked pretty rough. It was like, this is a really ugly toe. So it was like, it was just like kind of bleed. It had bled a little bit. So he was, cause he's got, neuropathy where you can't feel your feet really. Cause he's got the diabetes. Right. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he was like really keeping an eye on it, putting stuff on it, cleaning it every day, wrapping it, like really trying to make sure it was good and clean. And it just got worse and worse. Or like really the last, up until he went to the ER, it was about 4 days before he went to the ER where it was like the toe like ballooned out. It looked like a sausage. It was so freaky looking, dude. Freaky. So, and then he was like, well, should I wait one more day? Because he has to go to the VA. And then the VA, for everybody that doesn't know, like, you really have to go specifically through the VA. And if you don't go through the VA, you need permission to do that. Like, you cannot go to just a general doctor on your own. You have to go through the VA. Because they're dicks.
Yeah.
So it's Monday, and he was like, I'm taking the day off to go to the VA. And last Monday is Christopher Columbus Day. Guess who still celebrates Christopher Columbus Day? The Army does. So they were not there. So he was kind of left with no choice. He went to the urgent care that is like on their approved list of urgent cares if you really need to go. He goes there and then they're like, nope, you got to go to the ER. Yeah. This is like way too fucked. So he goes to the ER. And then I just dropped him off. And he was like, just come get me later when I need to be picked up. Yeah. I was like, great. So then he calls. I keep like waiting. I'm waiting for this. He's like, first off, he's sending me texts like, it's the ER is slammed, dude. There's people everywhere. Yeah. There's there's a, apparently there's a woman in there. It's just this old woman sitting who was just moaning. She would just go, like over and over. I know because I walked past her when I was dropping stuff off for John. Like over and over, like nonstop. So that lady was there. But anyway, so I get the call. He's like, no, they're keeping me. I was like, oh my God. So this is like serious. Yeah. And so days later, I'm going back and forth to the hospital, getting him stuff. And, you know, I'm getting exciting texts about what new crazy people they've brought in to the, well, not to the ER, but like where he's staying. At one point during the night, he sends me a text like early in the morning going like, well, all night I gotta hear nurses go, don't take that out of your butt.
Oh my God.
Like, what is going on? And then he said that there was a, and I guess I shouldn't say his mom's name. We'll call her, well, we'll just call her a Karen.
Yeah.
So he was like, oh yeah, there was a Karen in like, in one of the rooms because she argued with the nurses all night long, dude. Yeah. All night. She's just arguing. He, you know, it's like muffled voices through the wall, so he's not comfortable. They're coming in every 45 minutes to stab him more, take more blood, like doing all this crazy shit, IV. So basically the consensus was his toe bone. So because the infection was so big and it swelled up so bad, it shattered his toe bone.
Oh my God.
So he had like 7 breaks in his toe.
Oh my God.
I know, dude. And so, well, first he calls me like the day before he talks to the actual person who's going to like decide whether or not he keeps his toe. But he was like, yeah, I've been trying to tell him, like, I've broken that toe before. Those are old breaks. One from when I was like 19, another when I was 24. And then the next day when I went in to see him, that doctor showed up and he was trying to tell her that same stuff. And she was like, no, these are new breaks. Like, what? We're doctors. Like, we know what we're looking at. So, yeah, it turns out 7 breaks. They did a biopsy of it. He was like, my toe is mush. It's just like, my bone is mush. Because if they decided to keep the toe, he was going to have to go in every single day for 2 hours a day to get the IV antibiotics to go through his system every day for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So when they told him that versus losing the toe, he was like, I'd rather lose my toe. Like, I don't want to do that at all. So yeah, he got his toe chopped off. He showed me a picture. It is Frankenfoot, dude. It is gnarly. It is so his big fat. It's just like this hacked off flat piece.
Oh my God.
It looks so bizarre, dude. I cannot wait for it. Cause okay, maybe I'll go on his phone and send it to you.
Oh my God, I'm scared.
You should be. It's maybe I'm making it seem like so much worse than it is, but it freaked me out.
Yeah.
So.
Ugh. That is yikes.
That was my weekend. So he came back home on Friday. He was there for 5 days. We know the VA is taking care of the bill, but we're like, it had that cost. We're trying to guess how much we think it will cost the VA. We're guessing $100,000.
Oh yeah,
minimum.
I bet. Like, yeah, 5 nights in the ER.
5 nights, constant like
surgery,
IV surgery, consultations. Like, and they're you know they're all contract. Yeah. So,
ooh.
Yep.
That's crazy.
So how was your weekend? I didn't even.
It was good. I just went skating. That was just.
Did you go last night?
No, not last night. Oh, okay. I took last night off because I had went the night before and then like. Yeah, this one dude was, like, trying to talk to me, his friend, like, it was kind of funny, because his friend came up, and he's like, my friend is trying to talk to you, but, like, he can't keep up, and I turn around, and this little guy looks like a little, like, oh baby deer God. On skates, I was like, and then I had gone to the restroom, there's, like, a girl in there, she's like, oh, your outfit is so cute, or, like, whatever, and then I was like, oh, thanks, and she, like, accidentally, like, touched me. Like, she accidentally touched my ass. Like, she was, like, trying to, like, reach out and touch my skirt. And she's like, oh, sorry. Like, I don't know. It was, like, this whole thing. I was like, whatever. So then I'm, like, skating. And then all of a sudden, that same girl comes up to me. And she's like, oh, girl. She's like, you're skating by yourself? She grabs me by my waist. And it's like, what? Go. And I was like, I felt so uncomfortable. But I didn't know what to do. So then I was just like,
okay. Here I go. Choo-choo.
So I was, like, skating. Train. She's, like, holding onto my waist. It's so fucking weird.
Yeah.
And then, like, all of a sudden, I just hear, like, poof, And I just like looked behind me and she like fell. And I was like, oh my God. So then I like help her up. I was like, are you okay? And she's like, yeah, boom, falls again.
Oh my God.
So then I'm like, so then I like help her up. I'm like holding her hands. So I was like, okay. I was like, are you good? She's like, sorry, I'm drunk.
Oh my God. I was like, they don't serve alcohol there.
I know. I was like, okay. So then she's like, okay, we're good. I was like, okay. So we like start skating.
I'm not doing it again.
Yeah. She's like on her own. And then she's like, wait, we've met before, haven't we? I was like, yeah, in the bathroom earlier. She's like, oh, she's like, I thought you looked familiar. I was like,
Oh my God.
And then like after that, I just felt so awkward. I like slowly just like skated away from her. And I was like, okay. Like, that was like such a weird skate night. And then... Yep. I know this is going to annoy you, but so that fucking one, that one dude who you're like, I was very impressed by his skating skills. And he was like talking to me in the middle of the floor, like wants to be my skating partner or whatever. He's like, I saw you here talking to your mom the other day. And I was like, that is not my mom.
Oh, I'm no,
like,
was that me? Yeah. Oh my God.
I don't know why people always think you're my fucking mom.
Are you serious? I'm very so homely.
Funny. Like when, whatever. Well, I just think like, it's maybe because
like you're... you're really shorter and you do look very young.
Even and like when we worked together, that one lady who was like, oh, your daughter.
Yeah. Like, it's like there is a 10-year difference between us.
Yeah. So funny. But yeah, I was like, oh my God.
That's hilarious. Like, your mom. So like yeah. I've got. That's what oh
I
even my said. God.
I was like, oh no. I was like, that's my friend. We do our podcast together. Like we're only 10 years apart. He's like, oh.
I do have gray hair. Well, some gray hair. Not a ton of gray hair.
You look like it's old at all.
I don't know. Well, maybe because I always have a mask on. Maybe it just makes me look older. Know. Plus, I dress always in like a sweater and jeans.
I don't know.
I think that is funny. Fucking hilarious. Your mom. I'm going to hand you a baggie of like goldfish the next time we see each other. And I'm going to give you a juice box. I'm going to give you $5 allowance to spend at the... to spend at the concession stand.
Drop me off, give me $5.
Right? Bye. Now you be out here at 7:55. I do not want to have to go in there for you.
Yeah, so I thought that was funny.
Yeah, hilarious. Irma Gerd.
Yeah, I think that was all. I don't think I did anything special, just hung out, like... Yeah, Sunday I went and saw my sister.
Oh, yeah, your day of sister. I'm sad. I'm actually bummed. So, like, that, okay, so we did that weird Crag House thing, which was cool, but, like, it was a little boring, right? Like, it was, I thought it was going to be more information on how to, like, grow things or seed saving, and it was more of, like, show and tell. Yeah. It was sort of like him, like, look, we have this, and we have this.
Yeah.
Here's the plan like, we have. Here's some goats.
Try their radish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, which was again cool,
yeah,
but like unless like you had questions for him, he wasn't really giving you much information. But so we went, Lori and I, and I actually went and picked up Lori too, we went to that mushroom thing. That was so fucking cool.
Really?
And we left with microgreens. Oh my God, I'm gonna get a fucking microgreen kit. I've decided, well, like little kits. Not I am not like, dedicating very much to this, because if it doesn't go well, then I'm never going to do it again. So, because I tried growing bell peppers 12 years ago, and I'll never do it again. So,
I really wanted to go, but my sister is just like,
she should have gone too.
I know, she has the baby, so she's like afraid of germs.
Someone brought a baby.
It's like, I know, I really wanted to go, but Rachel's just so needy, and she's like... when will you be here? Like, just like, yelling at me. So I was like, okay. I was like, I'm just gonna fucking go over
it. Yeah. Well, it was fucking rad. I learned so much about microgreens. Yeah. Oh my God. I went, like I said, I'm gonna get a little kit. But like, he talked about like the nutritional benefits out of microgreens. Cause, you know, it's not really, it's just like sprouted. It's not a flowered plant, I guess.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's basically the sprouts. And he was talking about, like, oh, yeah, this tray of broccoli microgreens, it has the same equivalent of nutritional value of 8 full heads of broccoli.
Oh,
I was like, are you fucking serious? So microgreens, dude, that is a shit. And then he was talking about the sunflower microgreens. Mm-hmm. And he said that alone, like, you could live off of if you had to. Like, that alone. God. It's like this superfood.
That's so cool.
I was like so impressed. And then he showed his mushrooms too. Like, he's got That was the craziest, not the craziest, but it was a pretty intense process. Yeah. Like the, like everything he has to go through. Cause from what I had heard, my understanding for as long as I can remember is like every mushroom that we grow is grown in poop basically, yeah. right? Like a fertilizer. And he's like, no, there are other ways. Like he does not grow any in fertilizer, zero. It's yeah. all in like these bags that he like puts like soy food type thing in yeah. with like these mushroom things, cultures. And then he like, there's this huge process. Wow. I would never be able to explain yeah. it. But the end process part is you like, as it grows out, it blocks out kind of, and you cut a slit in the bag. You have to put it in a room control, like a room temperature controlled room. You yeah. know what I mean? So that plus humidity. So it's like really, yeah. sorry, I did that. So it's like really humid in there and stuff, but like all these mushrooms just come like shooting out of this aww. Split. Wow. It's crazy.
That's so cool. I wish.
Yeah. I wish you would have come because he gave us a free container of microgreens too.
That's so cool.
A $5 value, as we found out at. Because we went to, just by chance, Lori and I had talked about Bread and Butter.
Yeah.
That like market over off like Nevada somewhere.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, let's go to Bread and Butter. Yeah. Like how far away could we be? It was kind of like a little far. But like, so we went. And then we saw his shit there. Really? We're like, oh, that's my so God. Funny. Huh. And, but his little, dude, the mushrooms were so fucking expensive. It was $15 for a pound wow. of mushrooms. Yeah, dude. Wow. It's like, holy shit. I'm yeah. used to like $4, yeah. $3 to $4.
Well, it's like eating.
I mean, the process yeah. was insane. Wow. I wish insane. You could have gone. Because so cool. that was way more fun yeah. than that other one we went to.
Darn.
I know.
So that I missed out, but oh,
yeah.
Maybe next year.
Yeah. So as a last order of business, it's really important that I do recap the second episode of Cooking with Paris. This is the most amazing show I've ever seen. Oh my God. I was laughing so fucking hard, dude. And I, again, it's just Paris Hilton. So yeah. like it starts off the second episode of like this Western themed, right? She's in like a leather black hat. She's all in like this yeah. sexy black cowboy outfit thing. I don't know. And like heels, there's rhinestones fucking everywhere. She like glitters in the sun, right? And it's like a crop top leather yeah. top, whatever. Oh it doesn't God. Matter. And fringe. Oh my God. There's so oh, much yeah, fringe like hanging off this jacket. She goes into the Mexican market and I don't know, you know, she's just being Paris Hilton, like being yeah. weird. And she goes back home to make this funfetti cake with flan, this like flan yeah. funfetti cake. So it actually looked really good.
Yeah.
Except she did something really fucking stupid. So like it's a Pillsbury funfetti yeah. cake mix. Like, all right, cool. And then she adds like a ton more sprinkles to it. And then she adds like all these cotton candy pieces to what? It. She's like throwing cotton candy. She's like, oh yeah, that's gonna be so good. And then I'm sure it was delicious, but it's like pills for me personally, Pillsbury is so overly sweet yeah. anyway. And then to add all those sprinkles
cotton candy
plus cotton candy, it was like, ugh, I bet it was so melt, gummy,
right?
So I bet weird. It was like, yeah, because like personal experience, cake shot, like adding too many sprinkles,
yeah,
it makes it gummy as shit. Yeah. It's like this really over the top dense fucking cake. But anyway, so like, oh, so she's cooking with this hip hop artist, Sweetie, because you know she brings on like Sweetie, a guest. Is that it? I don't know.
Sweetie, yeah,
she's fucking hot, dude. She has the sweetest set of boobs. Like they are so. Like perfect. You ever seen a pair so perfect? Yeah. You're like, I kind of want to grab them. Like that was kind of her boobs.
Yeah.
So like her fucking dress was insane. She comes out with like kind of like a sequence, like this rainbow yeah. sequence dress. She's got these rhinestone fingerless gloves that are like leather too. Yeah. It looked like a Thanos glove, but like he crushed all the stones to make like pretty gloves. And then Sweetie's fingernails were so, like, they were beautiful. They were, but they were, like, an inch long, dude. Maybe not an inch. Maybe, like, a half inch long. Yeah. But, like, they were too long.
Yeah.
Gross long. And ew. She's, like, doing everything with her nails. Ew. She's, like, well, at first it looked kind of cool when she was, like, squeezing limes. It was, yeah. like, ooh, she's doing it with style. But then it was, like, ooh, now you're peeling, like, raw shrimp with them nails, dude. Yeah. And that looks so gross. And then, like, right before that, this, like, they're trying to make salsa. So they've, like, put shit in the blender. But then there's, like, something blocking the blender. Like, the blender's, like, straining. And they pour it out into the bowl because they're like, what's in there? Like, something's in there. So then Sweetie takes her long fucking claw hands and, like, dips them into the... She's, like, scooping it like a...
Ew.
Almost like a... Like a claw machine, like for a toy claw machine, like it looked like the like a claw, claw. And it was just really gross. And then I'm watching her do that. And then she's doing more limes and like just scooping garlic out like a bulldozer of like bowls. Ew. It's like, I can't. Dude, look, there's a reason short nails in kitchens. There's a standard that needs to be maintained. But it was so funny. Paris broke her fucking blender with that because like it jammed it so much. They like showed the blender part and she had like stripped the gears.
Oh my god. She
like fucked it up. Oh, and then I was laughing like Sweetie has a Paula Deen level love of butter.
Oh
yeah, she was like, I just like a little butter, and she like slaps in like half the stick.
Oh my god.
I was like, oh shit,
a little.
And I gotta be honest, her shrimp tacos looked kind of gross. Yikes, like too much moisture.
Yeah,
it looked more almost like a soup. I was with you. They didn't caramelize the onions either. It was just like
really weird,
still like really wet when she added the shrimp, so it just became this like shrimp soup almost. It looks so nasty. And then,
and
listening,
then they eat it, right?
And then they eat it. Yeah. And then Paris Hilton could not pronounce cotija cheese. Let me see, I wrote some down. Corita, cautiwa, and cortita. She like danced all around it. She could not get it. Like, I was laughing so hard, and like she's dragging a fucking taco pinata up the stairs, candy spilling everywhere.
So crazy.
I was like, what the fuck?
I can just picture her. She's
I was screaming, what the fuck? Like so much at the screen. It was hilarious. I was laughing so hard. Oh, fuck.
Wow.
What the fuck is her life? I was like, I literally even screamed at the screen. I was like, you're not real.
So bizarre.
She's weird.
It's like, what the hell are you doing all day? Like,
and then by chance, so like John, I've been telling him to, okay, because 30 Rock is my favorite show of all time. Every day that we worked at the cake shop, I would be like, Oh, there was a thing on 30 Rock that was like that every day. I would have a 30. I'm sorry.
No.
But like, so John was like, all right, let's watch an episode of 30 Rock. I was like, yes. So we're watching 30 Rock. And of course, I have to look up trivia like all the time on shit. So I was looking it up. And by chance, Tina Fey had quoted about working with Paris Hilton.
Really?
She does not like Paris Hilton. She was like, her quote was like, Paris Hilton's a piece of shit. I was like, fuck yeah.
So funny.
Because she was like, in the quote, it kind of like explains, like it's like a block, it's like a paragraph quote. But like, she was something along the lines of like, everybody wanted to give her a chance. Everyone was like, she's probably really nice. And like, we were excited to meet her. And then everybody like instantly hated her because she was like so over the top serious, they said. Because like, look, Paris's life, just her fucking life, dude. She has like a photo booth in her own fucking house. Like she's sitting there taking sexy pictures.
So,
it's like, what is this? And then every time they cook something, they like, they decorate the whole house for it. So like when it was fiesta themed, there's like fucking palm trees. There's like table settings. It's so intense.
It's like
and
a,
insane.
A party just for them too.
Literally
like,
just for them. And like
had
the
all
first
those balloons.
The first one was it was breakfast. I don't remember. They did a ton of shit. But I will say Paris Hilton's kitchen. I want her fucking kitchen.
So
I want.
Nice.
I even want all the dumb shit
she
in her
even
kitchen.
Know how to properly use it. Either.
She doesn't know what the fuck she's doing. She and like it's so wasted on Paris Hilton, man. I was thinking about her pantry too. Like that beautiful walk-in pantry. We have the shittiest fucking pantry known to mankind. And it's like her pantry is just filled with like marshmallows and cereal and like weird. Probably like quick make oats or something. Ugh.
It's so funny.
But like, I want, she has glitter salt. Did you, like
what?
That was, she was like, cause like she's cooking with this one chick and she's like, why is your salt like glittery? She's like, cause it's glitter salt.
It's so funny.
What else?
I
her
put, like edible glitter and like
I you know what if I would and then the girl was joking. She's like, yeah, our salt is diamonds or something. It was like, you fucking rich people, dude. So truffles are sick. That was Paris's quote. She said right after that, I never get to relax. And I laughed and laughed. It was like, you never get to relax. Like, you're Paris Hilton.
He's dragging a fucking pinata around.
And dude, literally, like, oh my like God.
You set up a whole outfit for this fucking dish.
Like, so the shit she answers her door in is, like, hilarious. She's always wearing, like, just the daintiest shit. Oh, yeah, the fringe, too, when she was first making that cake. She, like, dragged the fringe through the cream. She was like, I guess this isn't the best, like, outfit to be wearing. Oh, fuck. All right, man. Should we get to it?
Yeah. All right. So, you've already heard this story, so sorry, but
that's okay. Tell it again, just I've forgotten most of the details.
Yeah, so. I just wanted to tell it again, I guess, since it was like a personal, like, I mean, I guess not like really personal.
Not for you, but for someone used to and know.
That's a rare occurrence. So,
yeah.
Today, I'm going to be talking about the murder of Michaela Costanzo. And obviously, I'm choosing this because my ex of like 9 years, 10 years, whatever, Garrett, actually dated Michaela, and they were good friends, and she was actually murdered by his best friend, Cody Patton, because Cody and his dad, Kip, and Garrett, they all worked, like, in a shop together and would, like, rebuild cars.
Oh, my gosh.
He had, like, so many stories about him, so it's kind of, like, crazy, weird thing for Garrett as well. But, yeah, and so I actually got pretty much all my information, obviously, from, like, Garrett, like, hearing about it from his family, and then that Dateline episode, I just rewatched it.
Yeah.
And I actually had watched it when it aired, like, however many years ago, and yeah, so just rewatched it last night or whatever, kind of got my information, so. All right, so on March 3rd, 2011, Michaela, or as everyone called her, Mickey, went to track practice after school. She would usually check in with her mother, but on this day, she didn't. Garrett told me actually that her and her mom would like fight a lot, and that she'd actually like run away before, and she would usually go to friends' houses and stuff. But on the Dateline, her mother was like, she would always tell me where she was, like, to a fault, and you know, like, all dramatic. And I was like, but anyways, so yeah, she actually hadn't texted her mom that day, and I guess her sister went out of town to Vegas, and then her other sister, DJ, was in college. And so it was just, like, one of those weird, like, rare occurrences where she had to, like, walk home from school by herself. And so she had went to practice, and no one had seen her, like, after, like, 5 or something like that. And her mom hadn't heard from her. So Wendover is actually a casino town, and her mom worked at the casino, and so she was, like, waiting for her to call, but when she didn't, I guess she like rushed home. Also, like, another weird fact about this is that this happened in West Wendover, which is in Nevada,
yeah,
or whatever, and then Wendover is in Utah, and I guess like this casino, half of it is in like Nevada, and then the parking lots are in Utah. I don't know.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. So, there's some kind of tax break for them to do it that way. You just know it.
Yeah. So her mom rushes home for work, can't find her, so I think they like call the police. And then, actually, it was kind of weird, like, when I, like, rewatched, like, the Dateline 2, this guy, Detective Burnham, was on there. He was actually in charge of this case.
Uh-huh.
And weirdly enough, because Garrett and his whole family knew him, too.
Yeah.
He actually killed himself in 2015, like, drove out of the city and, like, shot himself in his car.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so that was kind of just crazy in general. But he was, like, in charge of this case, actually, and was, like,
oh, wow,
credited with, like, actually getting, like, confession from Cody and stuff like that, so.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So, yeah, so they check Mickey's phone records, and they find a number on her phone that had been called a few times or had called her right before she disappeared pop up, and obviously it belongs to Cody Patton, who they were, like, childhood friends. They even lived in, like, the same apartment complex for a while, like, they grew up together, kind of a thing, and it's like a small town, so everyone knew each other. Yeah, so everyone at this point is like looking for her. Garrett told me that there was like big search teams, people were like walking the desert because Wendover is literally just a fucking desert, like nothing there besides casinos and like brothels and shit like that. So
yeah,
they're walking the
desert.
There's
brothels there.
Yeah, there's one brothel, I think it's called like I don't want to say it, Donna's Ranch or something like okay. that. Or maybe it's like Mona's Ranch or something. Yeah. Something like that where, yeah, I know there's a brothel there.
Yeah.
Yep. So they're just searching the desert. They can't find her. Garrett also told me that as soon as Mickey went missing, that his her sister was like, it was Garrett. Like, I know it was him, blah, blah, Whoa. Blah. So, yeah, they had actually, like, pulled him in for questioning. And Garrett said he was, like, so pissed. Like, how could you even think I did this? Like,
yeah.
You know, like, they had, like, thought he had done it because they had just, like, been dating and then, like, broke up. Like, I guess he, like, cheated on her. You know, okay. some crazy sure. high school
yeah.
romance thing. So, yeah, they actually, like, pulled him in for questioning. I guess she was dating this boy at the time named Javier. They pulled him in. He was like, oh, I don't know anything. Like, well, I don't know where she is.
How old was Garrett when this happened?
I think he was like 18.
Okay.
Yes, like oh, okay. 17, 18.
Yeah.
He fell to grade, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he should have been like, I think 17. But they go on her phone records and they see that like they all stopped after she had left school and like those last calls were from Cody Patton. So they call him in and at this time it says, I think he was like 18 or 19, Cody was, and he was a senior and he was living with his fiance's parents and his fiance was Tony Fredo.
That's so, right. That was a weird setup, wasn't it? Yeah. They like, didn't they like love him, I thought, or?
Yeah, it said they like, so they like start off like, oh, we love Cody, this and that. Yeah. And then like, Tony takes like a plea deal and then they're like, oh, he was like horrible. He was abusive, yeah. like all this stuff. Oh, so okay. yeah, it's just like
yeah.
this whole kind of thing. But yeah, so, they bring him in and they question him. He's like, oh, I don't know anything. Like, I saw her in the front of the school or something like that. But I guess they had, like, looked at, like, video surveillance footage and see, like, Michaela leave through, like, the back of the school.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're like, we know you're, like, lying, but whatever. So,
yeah.
Okay, so anyways, so the Saturday morning after she had been missing for 36 hours, a search team, like this random guy and a search team is like looking around in this place called the Gravel Pit. And it was like outside of city limits. And he notices like some blood on the ground and he moves like through some sagebrush and sees like what he believes is like part of a body. So Oof. Then he's like, okay, like we got to step away, like calls like the rest of the search team. They all call the police. So I guess forensic teams actually couldn't get there till the next morning. So
oh, no.
her family and like her mom and everyone was like freaking out that she had to be like left out there in like the desert for like another night until
that would could. Really bother me. Yeah. Did they I don't remember, they at least secured it obviously. Yeah, yeah okay.
Yeah, someone was like, oh, I'll stay here like tonight with her, like she won't be alone.
Yeah,
like,
have you seen, sorry, I know this is like total just diversion off the path, yeah. but like have you seen the, there's like studies where people will, this is not a joke, mm-hmm. like dress up, because you know pigs are most closely kind of related body wise type, like how our everything's structured a little bit, you know, like, kind of like a pig.
Uh-huh.
They will dress up a pig in the desert, like they'll put everything on it, like a bra, a skirt, a shirt. What? They'll put it in the desert to study how long it takes before the bodies are like devoured, because yeah. like sometimes you'll never find the bodies. Yeah. Like how long does it take to like detach the head, the arms, the legs? So like they'll dress a pig up and they like study that shit. And the guy said that like, because he actually had the pigs like delivered to the desert, mm-hmm. like where they were. And he was like, what are you doing with these? And he's like, oh, we'll dress them up and put them in the desert. The dude's like, okay. Oh,
that's funny. No, I've never seen that before.
Yeah, anyway, sorry. Yeah.
No, it's fine. That's so weird. Okay. Yeah, so.
Yeah, recover from that, huh?
okay. Yeah, so they find her body. I guess she had been, like, beaten. She was, like, cut up. She was stabbed. She had cuts across her face. The ground underneath her was, like, completely saturated with blood. And her wrists were zip tied.
Whoa.
So they were like, yeah, she definitely was like forcibly taken or at yeah. some point was just held against her will. So like, as I said, they look at the video surveillance from school and they show Mickey being followed. Like it shows her like walking through the school. And then like a little bit after, like Cody Patton is like just like following her like right out of the school. So apparently, like, Cody, like, even, like, from Garrett's, he had to be, like, a character witness, just had, like, a really bad temper. Garrett said he would go from, like, 0 to 100 just, like, really quick. Like,
really, yeah. Days,
like, where Garrett just had to, like, leave because, like, Cody would try and, like, fist fight him. Just,
oh my
like,
gosh.
Crazy shit because he just, yeah. like, had such a bad temper. Yeah. So I guess I don't know, like, the exact date, but a little bit of time passes, and Cody ends up going to the police station again with his father, Kip Patton. And so, oh, just, like, a little thing after this. So, like, after they had found Mickey's body, Garrett told me that there was, like, this big school assembly, and that, I guess, like, they were all, like, waiting. Like, her mom came in and, like, was talking to everyone, and then, like, I guess, like, the police came in, and she, like, confirmed that it was, like, Mickey's body, and he said that everyone was, like, losing their shit in this assembly, like, once she, like, confirmed it, and, like, he said, like, everyone was, like, crying. It was, like, super crazy, and he said that Cody came up to him and, like, tried to hug him. And Garrett said that he just had a feeling that, like, Cody had something to do with it, and so he told me he, like, shoved him, like, down the bleachers or something, like, away from him, and I was just like,
whoa.
I was, like, that's kind of weird, but
yeah,
so Cody ends up going to the police station with his father, Kip Patton. They're, like, questioning him again. You can, like, hear, like, the footage or audio recordings or whatever. And he's like, oh, no, like, I had nothing to, like, do with it. Like, she helped me with some car parts. I saw her at the front of the school. And then that's when they're like, no, dude, like, you're lying. We have surveillance and we see you, like, leave the back of the school with her. So then he's like, I want to talk to my dad. So his dad comes in, and I guess, like, apparently they could, like, just hear them, like, kind of, like, arguing in the, like, room. And then when detectives, like, come back, like, I guess, like, they had, like, recordings of his dad, like, crying, like, you got to make this right. Like, what you did was heinous. Like,
yeah.
And it's, like, really sad, too, because Garrett said Kip was, like, such a good guy, and that, like, after this happened, like, everyone, like, hated him. Like, you know, kind of how people usually, like, attack.
Like, it's not his fault.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was just, like, really hard on him, I guess. But, yeah, so then Cody finally, after this, like, happens, like, and tells, like, the story, like, and confesses to, like, what he did. And he said that, so, like, this is, like, the first, like, version of events of what happened. So Cody said that he picks Mickey up from school, that they go driving, that she said he should break up with Tony and date her. And that he's like, no, I'm not going to do that. Like, she starts getting, like, mad and, like, pounding on his chest. So then they, like, stop the car. They get out of the car. They're, like, fighting. He, like, shoves her and she falls and hits her head on the car.
Whoa.
Starts, like, seizing. And then he said that he, like, hit her with the shovel to stop it. And then, like, cut her throat and buried her.
Jesus.
Yeah. So, I guess Mickey's mom thought that the story about, like, her and Cody fighting over them dating didn't, like, sound right, especially because Cody was engaged to Tony and Mickey had a boyfriend. And she was like, this doesn't really, like, make any sense. Like, why would, like, this be happening?
Yeah.
So, and I guess, too, like, because her wounds were so severe, like, it looked like someone literally, like, took their rage out, like, on her.
Yeah.
And, like, they had been, like, friends and, like, he had, like, liked her. So it was just kind of weird that this was even happening. And yeah, I guess, like, she was, like, horribly disfigured, too. Like, Garrett said that the funeral was closed casket, and, like, it was, like, it was, like, a huge funeral. Yeah, and that, I guess, like, a few of her, like, really close friends got to see her, and Garrett actually dated her best friend after this, Tiffany. And I guess she, like, had seen her or something like that and said that, like, she was unrecognizable and that it was, like, really, like, disturbing and, like, horrible. Like, you couldn't even tell it was her, and it looked really bad. So
yikes.
Yeah, that's, like, how severely she was, like, being. So, yeah, so all the indiscrepancies, like, with the story start to make sense when Tony Fredo shows up at the police station with Kip Patton a few weeks after Mickey's murder in April. I guess she, like, arrived in her pajamas, and she wants to talk to detectives, and she tells them a new, like, version of events. And I guess she had told, like, the police this while her parents were out of town, and her parents were like, she was forced to confess, like, by Kip Patton. But Kip was like, she literally came to me, like, just, like, randomly, like, was, like, guilty and wanted to, like, confess or whatever. So she says that what happened is Cody texts Tony, I have her. They pick her up. They're driving around with Mickey in the car until they end up at the gravel pits. Tony claims she looked away for a split second. She hears, like, a thud. And then Mickey's, like, on the ground, like, seizing. They both, like, start to kick and punch her. Then they move her to the grave. And then Tony said she held her legs down. And then they both, like, together slit her throat or something like that.
Oh, I remember that. That was so weird. It was like, how do you both held it like you're cutting a cake at a wedding?
Yeah. Like, even her story, like no one could, like neither one of them ever gave like a straight story.
Yeah.
And I feel like she like had more to play in this, but just didn't want to like admit it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and like from like what I hear and like Garrett like personally like knowing like Cody and Tony, like he said that like obviously they're both crazy, but Tony was like crazy jealous, just like crazy controlling, like constantly like on Cody, like so and they just had like a violent relationship. There was like even in that documentary, like it shows them like fighting. Cody's like shaking her around like in the hallway at school one day, just like it looked really like bad. So Cody was offered a plea deal in 2012. So if he would have pled guilty to murder in the first degree, he would get life in prison with the possibility of parole and no death penalty as long as he testified against Tony. So he accepts the plea deal. He's like, okay, I'll do it. I guess like right before he's like about to take it, he like changes his mind. Like his attorney or someone comes in, they like talk, and then like he's like, okay, like never mind, like I'm not going through with this. So then a couple days after this, they go to Tony, the DA, and they offer her a deal, and they're like, if you plead second degree and serve 18 years, like you'll have like a much better chance at life, you'll get released when you're 36, like
really selling it.
Yeah, like
selling
all you have to do is testify against Cody, and she's like, no problem, like throws him right under the bus.
No offense, like, like, oh, my abusive boyfriend that I helped kill somebody with, fuck it, I'll throw him under the bus.
So she testifies against him. So I guess she says that Cody hated Mickey, hated her voice, and was just like fed up with her, like at this point. Like, so in this story of events, she says that he texts her like that I have her thing. So he picks her up, they're like driving in the car together, he texts her again like we have to kill her or something like that. She says that Cody is like the main instigator, that he says like we have to kill Michaela, blah blah blah. So she says that she was like forced to beat and hit Mickey, that he demanded her to hit her with the shovel, so she did. And then in the second, or so, you know, in the first confession, she claims that they slit her throat together. In the second one, she claims she walked away, had nothing to do with it, and that Cody is the one who, like, slit Mickey's throat. And then she said that, like, at some point, I guess, in, like, multiple, like, events or versions of this story, she said that Michaela had said, like, am I still here? Am I still alive? And can I go home? I guess, like, they said, like, she had said something, like, right before she, like, died or whatever. So it was, like, kind of sad.
Poor Michaela.
Like, yeah, it was, like, horrible.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so after that, they buried her. They drove back to town and stopped at McDonald's to get, like, drinks.
Ugh.
And then they drove to the other side of the desert and burnt, like, all her clothes and, like, stuff like that, like, belongings. So this happens, and then, like, I think a little bit before, like, the trial or something like that, I guess, like, her diary had been given, like, her parents had given, like, the detectives, like, a whole bunch of stuff, and it was her diary. It was given to this investigator named Bill Savage, and in this, like, diary, like, her personality is, like, really revealed, and, like, even, like, possibly, like, a motive for murder. But she'd say things like she was worried that Cody would leave her for someone else or cheat on her, and that they wouldn't last forever or get married. One quote from her diary I wrote, and this was like that one thing that we used to always like joke about when we were like taking like ibuprofen or whatever. I don't know if you remember.
Yes, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
She was like, I'm very angry today, so angry that I'm trying to overdose. After I got off the phone with Cody, I went and took 4 aspirins. It's just like, what the fuck?
I remember it because I watched it, and like literally the next day I was like, dude, I legit took 3 sleeping pills last night just to go to sleep. Like,
it's like, 4 ibuprofen when I get a migraine. Like,
yeah,
so
dude.
Funny.
I've taken 4 aspirin when I have like bad cramps. Yeah. You know? Like, what do you mean you took 4? Yeah, that to me is probably the greatest thing to ever come out of, what was it, 2020 or Dateline or whatever. Yeah, yeah, was that. Oh my God. Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah, so I guess Bill Savage had said, like, based on reading this diary, that she was, like, very insecure and jealous of Mickey, and, like, even wrote about her. She would write things like, we might as well break up so he can get back with her, and he will be happier, and she can see her, he can see her a lot more than, like, he would ever see
me. Oh my God, one of those bitches.
Yeah, they're perfect for each other. They would be so happy together if I didn't steal him away.
Oh my God.
I know in my heart he really doesn't love me, exclamation point. Like, just, like, crazy. Like,
some high school bullshit. Yeah, yeah.
Her diary really disclosed, like, a real animosity for Michaela. But on the other hand, Cody had, like, no reason to kill her. So, like, lots of people think she was, like, really, like, the driving, like, factor in this. So, and apparently, too, like, DJ, Michaela's sister, and, like, even, like, anyone who, like, really knew them, because it was, like, such a small town, said that anytime Tony saw Cody talking to Michaela, or, like, even other girls for that matter, like, she would freak out. And so, yeah, I guess she was just really jealous of her. I guess, like, at the hearing, Cody, like, really tried to, like, plead, like, with the courts and was like, I'm really sorry, like, this and that, like, you know, whatever. Oh my God. Like, typical, like, however, how it, like, always is. And then, I guess, though, like, they had, like, his confession, like, the beginning of his confession before he denied his plea deal. And, like, that, like, original confession is what people, like, think was, like, probably, like, the closest to what happened.
Huh.
But I guess he said that. So this is, like, the third story. So I guess Cody said that Tony saw Mickey in the hallway and that she called her a slut, and then they started to, like, argue or something like that. And I guess, like, Mickey's sister DJ had even said that, like, Mickey would just, like, be walking past Tony, like, in the hallway. She'd, like, mumble things under her breath, like, call her a slut, like, fucking whore, and all this stuff. Like, she really, like, hated her, and it seemed like it just kept, like, continuing to grow. So Cody suggests, like, after, like, they get into this fight, like, that they just, like, talk it out, and that they just, like, wanted to, like, fight and, like, duke it out and, like, finally get it over with. So Mickey agrees, and that they all get into this car, or they get into the car, her and Cody, and then they drive to the gravel pit after he picks up Tony. And then after that, like, it stops, and that's when, like, he rejected the plea deal. Like, he was, like, literally in the middle of it, and that's when, like, that dude comes in, like, is talking to him, like, and then he's like, okay, like, never mind.
Yeah.
Backs out.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so, and I guess, like, Mickey's sister had said that Cody kept trying to get them to go with them, like,
yeah,
they, like, kept trying to convince her to, like, do this, like, have, like, some kind of thing. She said it, she just thought it was weird.
Yeah, especially for a person that doesn't like you.
Yeah,
like, why, like, would why? I go with you and your boyfriend? You're jealous as fuck. Yeah, you're trying to kill me. Like, yeah, she probably, like,
you
knew
hate me. Yeah, so it was, like, kind of weird, but I guess, like, she'd just been fed up and was like, whatever, like, so who knows, who really knows what happens. Like, there's so many stories. Like, I don't think anyone will ever actually have, like,
the whole picture.
Answer. Yeah, and Garrett said that he'd even, like, wrote to Cody before and was like, why, dude, and that, like, he wouldn't even, like, tell him, and kind of a thing. But yeah, so and they, like, really believe that this murder had been planned too, just because of her saying this, like, they had tried to get her to go with him multiple times, and then that, like, the time she goes missing was, like, just so perfect. Like, her sister was gone, her other sister's in college, like, her mom was at work, and, like, she had to, like, walk home alone that night. So so and then actually I think it was this year or last year, I can't remember now, so, like, COVID and all of that, but Tony had her parole hearing at, like, 10 years. And because of COVID, I think, like, no one could actually, like, go, but everyone like wrote in, like, letters and stuff like that, and it was denied. So
thankfully.
Yeah, because I guess she had to serve, like, because, like, the way they, like, sentenced, like, she got one, like, 8 years for one thing and then, like, 10 for another. So so, but it was denied, so that's good.
And for her too, just from what I remember, she, I think, because, you know, people kept accusing her of having, like, these outbursts and stuff. Like, when she talks in that interview, it's like an ASMR video. She is so just calm and soft-spoken, very delicate. You know, it's like, fuck you. Like, we know what you did.
And
you slit that girl's throat,
though,
man.
Like, she looks like she's she's like,
like, she's on,
like,
Xanax,
even what I
or
said
something.
In that journal, like, that was from a long time ago. I'm like, sure it was. Yeah, so, it was denied, whatever. So one, like, weird thing, like, I wanted to share, too, is, like, that Garrett had told me is that I guess, like, when they were going through, like, Michaela's stuff, they had, like, found that she had, like, a diary. And I guess she had had, like, a really bad, like, nightmare that she was murdered. And she had, like, woken up, like, in the middle of that night or whatever. And she had drawn like, a picture of, like, the desert. And it looked almost, like, exactly where she was, like, found, like, buried.
That and she had wrote so that, like, creepy. She
was
worried
that someone was, like, going to kill her, like, because of the stream or something like
Whoa.
That. Whoa. Yeah, but it was, like, really weird. Like,
that's
some kind of, like,
fucking
bizarre,
freaky.
Like,
that's some third eye shit, man.
Yeah, but I thought that was, like, really kind of scary. I guess Gara said he had, like, seen it or something. But, yeah, I thought it was kind of crazy. But, yeah, Oof. That was that.
Poor Michaela.
I know. So
Fuck
sad.
Them.
Yeah. Really crazy. Like, ugh.
Yeah. Yep. I did finally, because I remember it took me a while to watch it, but yeah. it was pretty fucking crazy, yeah. That story. And then just that chick, yeah, that so what weird. Is it, Tony,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. The whole situation was weird. Him living with them, the parents talking. Yeah. It was like, everybody's fucking crazy.
Yeah. Literally.
So that was what I remember from it, but. Yeah, it was a good, what'd you say, it was Dateline, right?
Yeah.
That was worth it. I found it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good shit. Well, then I'm going to jump on mine because I know you got to, like, get on the road.
Yeah.
We've been doing this for an hour, man. All right. So, mine was on the MGM Grand Hotel fire. I did not know that there was a fire in 1980 at the MGM Grand. So my sources, 2 weeks in a row now. Are you counting? I've done my sources in a row. Las Vegas Review. It was a story called Hell on Earth by Shay Johnson. It Took a Fire to Change Us. Nevada Public Radio by Dave Schwartz. I went to QRFS.com, which is like Quick Response Fire Safety, I think. Hmm. And then ClassicalLasVegas.com. So, all right. The MGM Grand. The fire comes in as the third deadliest hotel fire in the U.S.,
wow.
as well as having the honor of being Nevada's deadliest in the state's history. So, the fire that ultimately claimed 87 lives began and ended on November 1st, 1980 at the MGM Grand Hotel and Casino. At around 7 a.m. that morning, a fire erupted out of the hotel's deli on the east end of the casino. The flames spread quickly and sent toxic fumes through the hotel tower, and it did not help that most of the hotel's 2,000 rooms were filled that day. So, at the time, the MGM Grand, which is now, I guess, the Bally's Las Vegas, was approximately 2 million square feet, which consisted of 2,000 guest rooms, 8 major restaurants, a very large casino, a movie theater, and 2 ginormous showrooms. Mm. So that morning, it was estimated there were around 5,000 guests staying at the hotel that day. Did not help.
Yeah.
So the MGM Grand had opened in 1973 as the most extravagant hotel on the Strip, and not to mention it had the honor of being the largest resort hotel in the world. At the time, in the 70s.
Yeah.
So in its first year of operation, it made $22 million, and the entire casino was constructed for $106 million. I went and looked those numbers up because I had to know.
Yeah.
So $106 million, if today that was built, it would be around $600 million. Mm. And then the $22 million it brought in that first year would be like $124 million. So, yeah, it was fucking raking in that dough. It was built during a time in which fire regulations were kept to a minimum. So even with standards being low, the MGM Grand had been given warnings from the local fire marshal and a letter from within the company, like a private consultant firm or something like that,
mm-hmm.
that they received a letter from this firm saying that, like, it was irresponsible for them, like, what they were doing with their fire suppression system was really lame, and that they also cited liability as, like, a potential major issue. So because they had a ton of money and influence over the local politicians, they basically whined their way out of getting fines or violations. Politicians asked for fire departments to back off, so the MGM wrote off their fire safety, basically. Yeah. So, fucking man, it's always, it's always political, man, always. In any case, on November 21st, 1980, just before 7 a.m., a worker noticed flickering coming from the not-yet-open deli on the east side of the casino. So, like, it was operating, it just wasn't open yet for the day.
Yeah, it was
like close. So, the worker alerted others nearby, including security, and went looking for an extinguisher. It was pretty obvious that one man wasn't going to be able to put the fire out, so he warned others to get out. And when firefighters arrived, the fire was still in the deli, but once the firefighters got there, it, like, erupted, like this fireball came out of the deli and was like, holy shit. So The fire erupted. It spread through the casino very quickly. The Clark County Fire Department estimated it moved at a rate of 15 to 19 feet per second.
Wow.
So the fire was so intense, even the cars parked in valet. So that's just the flames coming out of the door. It melted the cars that were like at valet. Wow. Yeah. And it estimated that it only took 10 minutes for the fire to move through the casino. Like, it happened so fast.
Yeah.
So firefighters were able to extinguish the flames really quickly, but the fire wasn't the real killer. It was actually the smoke that took most of the victims' lives.
Hmm.
Because the fire system was so janky and lame, smoke was able to fill the hallways and stairways with thick smoke. It must have been especially bad for floors 16 through 26 because 67 people died on just those floors alone. Yeah, so 67 out of, like, what, the 80... Shit, I just said it.
Yeah.
87. It doesn't matter.
I was going to ask again how many it was.
I think it was 87. If you're wondering, and I know you are, you've got that look in your eye. Yes, their fire dampeners were installed incorrectly.
Oh my God.
And their HVAC system was running just fucking fine. So that meant it was pumping all these toxic fumes through all the fucking rooms. And the only reason people were finding out about the fire were either like... people that were realizing what was going on. So, like, they said they would hear, like, knocking on the door. They just heard commotion. And then they'd open their door and there'd be, like, smoke filling up the hallway. So, like, people are fucking panicking. There's no alarms going off, mind you. And it was said that at this point, more people outside of the hotel knew about the fire than the people inside of the hotel. Because you could see the smoke coming out of the hotel. But there are people, there's patrons there who, like, they have no fucking idea. Because they're just, like... And think about 7 a.m. I think this is like a week before Thanksgiving, too. Yeah. I totally looked up when Thanksgiving was in 1980.
You're on vacation, probably sleeping in or...
And then think, too, like world travelers come to Vegas. Yeah. People from Hong Kong, from Germany, from wherever. So I was totally thinking like, because it's Vegas.
Yeah.
Like you've got people who are probably just passed out falling into bed at 7 a.m. Like,
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, like staying up all night.
All fucking night. Like you look and you're like, holy shit, the sun's up. Like, because it's Vegas, you know? Let's see. Oh, so at this point too, like not a single alarm has gone off. There's nothing. The 200 plus firefighters had shown up to put the blaze out and they did put it out in like 2 hours. So, and it, I think they said the fire never moved past the second floor. So like they got it out quick, but it was just that smoke had like nowhere to go. And it just went through the stairways and elevator shafts and everything. So all fire alarms in the hotel had to be activated manually. So there's no automation. If a person has been trained to do it, I guess they could go run over and remember in not a panic state to like pull the fire alarm. And some guests said that they were like, they had pulled the alarms and like nothing fucking happened.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Okay, so let's say, like, even if the alarms that had been pulled were, like, done so successfully, it says that the alert went to the security office, and it took an automatic five-minute delay for that signal to, like, go to the fire department.
Mm-hmm.
So you could pull the alarm, but it still wouldn't be, it would still be another 5 minutes before the fire department knew about the fire. It's a weird system. It was the 70s, man. So... And guest rooms certainly did not have, like, smoke or carbon monoxide detectors.
People were probably still smoke, like, in the casino.
Straight up. It was, like, the 90s when we finally started giving a shit. So, for some, they didn't realize what was happening until it was too late. People that tried to escape... So, this is, like, there are just so many problems. Like, I'll tell you about them in a second. But, like, so some people would try to go down the stairwell... But the way that it was constructed, the stairways went directly to the street. So as a safety precaution, when you exit out into the stairwell, it automatically locks behind you. So now you can't get back into the hotel. But the problem was people were trying to go downstairs and they were just met with like smoke just like coming up. So they're freaking out. So then they have to like run all the way back up because now they can't get through any of the doors, so they have to try to make it to the roof before they like die of smoke inhalation.
Oh,
so like people died in the fucking stairwells, which was really super fucked up. A lot of people were trapped in their rooms and had to break windows open to flag for help. It said that fire ladders could only reach the ninth floor, and that some hotel workers were using scaffolding to rescue people on higher floor. And the MGM had 26 floors. So there were like a lot of people.
Yeah.
Okay. So this number that I'm about to tell you, it was like kind of a lower number. And then someone quoted like a really high number. So I don't know.
Yeah.
So it said anywhere between 300 and 2000 people were rescued from the roof. So 2000 seems really unlikely, yeah. But it's, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. So believe what you will. The Clark County Building Department reasoned. Okay, so this is kind of like why the deli didn't have any fire equipment in it. So the Clark County Building Department reasoned and exempted MGM Grand specifically from needing sprinklers in areas that were open 24 hours because any employee who is probably making like fucking minimum wage from their bullshit job, that the employee would be able to act as a firefighter, basically. So if they saw a fire, it was their responsibility to go run over and put that fire out.
Yeah.
So they didn't need sprinklers in the casinos because, again, the mindset being, this is the 70s.
All the employees are
The employees will be trained as firefighters. So the fire's out, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So originally, like I said, any area that was open 24 hours, you didn't have to put sprinklers in. So originally, the deli was designed to be open 24 hours, and then they decided not to do that. Mm-hmm. So that now you have the deli closed, yes. And it happened exactly what they, you know, would have been the biggest issue with not having sprinklers of a fire started. No one's there to even call the fire. You know, they could have called the fire department before, right away, and it would have been solved, but... And a guy had actually said, like, one of the firefighter investigator guys said that, like, oh, if they had sprinklers in that deli, like, it would have been, like, a 2-sprinkler fire that would have put it out. And we'd have never heard about this fire, like, ever. So that was pretty fucked up. The hotel. So once, like, the fire's done, people are evacuated. The hotel had 83 different building violations, design flaws, and installation errors. Like I said, automatic sprinklers were present everywhere except for the casino, the 26-story hotel high-rise, and the restaurants. So it just kind of goes to show, like, so basically like where all the people are.
Places, yeah.
Like, where all the people are all the time. No, we do not need sprinklers there. It's like, what the fuck, man? Okay. And then, this was a quote from one of the firefighters that was there. All right. The restaurant was closed, so the fire fed unabated off the abundant fuel sources. Stacks of napkins, wallpaper, chrome, and crystal furnishings in the casino that were actually plastic. Cellulose ceiling tiles that burned at a rate of 5 to 10 feet per second and had tile adhesive so flammable that it was banned in another state, which was Connecticut. In fact, nearly everything in the casino, from chandeliers to craps tables, was made at a was made from a highly combustible combination of wood and plastic. I really wish I had written down who I got this from, but it was off of the QRFS website.
Okay.
Basically, like, all the worst decisions.
It's just, like, made to burn.
It was literally like, yes, if you didn't have kindling in the forest, you would want one of these pillows that they had at the casino. Let's see. The biggest mechanical failures, of course, were the HVAC system, the fact that it did not shut off and it was just like pumping all this shit through the hotel. The alarm system disconnected because of the fire. So the manual alarm systems that they had were no longer working because the fire put it out. This is like,
yikes.
This is the dumbest fucking design you could have made. Oh, and then, of course, there was, like, the unusually highly flammable amount of material that they had. And again, that it was used in the building materials plus the decorations. So the human factors, it said the hotel construction failed to meet the intent of the designers. Materials that were highly flammable were used as building materials as well as decorations. I just said that, sorry. And the newer modifications that they had put into the hotel kind of prevented the fire system from working as well as it did even before that.
Mm-hmm.
So there were more than 1,300 lawsuits filed against 118 companies after the fire.
Yeah.
So MGM Grand had set up a $223 million fund to distribute to the victims over a period of 3 years. And I did have to look up how much $223 million was worth. Dude, that is a $1.2 billion value today.
Wow.
So they sent $1 billion up for the victims. That was incredible.
Yeah.
So let's see. There were victims, yet, from all over the globe, as well as across the country. So cases were consolidated. So I guess they did, like, in groups, like, groups coming in, because there were so many people. And they said 135 hearings were held. Wow. So another thing that happened, it said less than 90 days from that fire, was the Hilton fire. Some pyromaniac, like, set a fucking fire on the 8th floor, and, like, 8 people died. There were 200 people injured. So, like, Vegas was kind of having this negative issue because they had had, I think, like, other fires as well. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you always hear the horrible hotel fires, yeah, from, like, all over the country, where just hundreds and thousands of people over time have burned because no one gave a shit, you know? So it was after the Hilton fire that, like, big money casinos could not wine anymore. They didn't give a shit. They were like, no one's gonna come to Vegas if they're worried they're gonna, yeah, fucking burn to death. So within months of the Vegas fires, the state enacted new fire codes that required automatic sprinklers in every high rise taller than 55 feet and every large public area. So there were no exceptions. No one could be grandfathered in. You had to, like, abide by the new rules. You had to put that shit in. All new buildings, 3 stories or more, needed to have sprinklers, pressurized elevator shafts, and stairwells, for a clear escape, automatic elevator recalls that send elevators to a specific landing and then remove themselves from service, just so that people don't get trapped, yeah, in the fucking elevators. That they needed to put in heating, ventilation, and shutoffs, extensive fire alarm systems in high-rise buildings, and evacuation maps on the back of every hotel room door, and that it's no fire fatalities have occurred on the Las Vegas Strip since the MGM Grand fire and the Hilton fire. Oh. So that was that, man. Cool. Yeah.
When I go to my hotel tonight, I'm gonna be like,
yeah, dude, look at that evacuation map. Like,
where's the evacuation, right, plan? Where?
Map it out. Like, stand there looking.
It's crazy. There's something I was gonna ask. I completely already. Oh, didn't you say this happened because of like a pastry?
Oh my god! Yes. Okay. Sorry. Oh no. How did I skip like a page? What did I do?
I remember you telling me this, like, when you were looking at the story.
Yeah, because I thought it was so funny. Like, the whole reason. Okay, so because we have personal experience with working with someone who had no business being a handyman or installing things, yeah, like pastry cases. You said one day he spent all day on a ladder in the ceiling. Yeah. Like, we're pretty sure he was playing games on his phone. Like, the dude, he was a nice enough guy, but, yeah, like, he really sucked at his fucking job. Literally. Like, every time he would come in and fix something, it would, like, get worse, yeah, or just, like, yeah, not be fixed. But, yeah, so it was from a faulty, the pastry case was installed incorrectly. And I guess what happened was it vibrated so much, 2 wires, there was friction in the wiring, and it caused the fire. Yeah. It sparked out and it caused the fire. I can't believe this worthless shit I have tonight. I didn't write that down.
I was
down.
Worried that it was like you like ended up doing more research and it was just like, oh, that was wrong or something.
Yeah,
like that.
No, so was
like,
it was totally the pastry case. But I did think about that special somebody. Yeah. Oh, that guy. Fuck. Yeah. But anyway, that's it. Oh. One last thing. Oh, shit. I feel bad. I don't remember the name of it, but it's on Hulu. So it's a murder show, and it takes place in Colorado, but it has all kinds of twists and turns, man. Like, this dude, he's killed, like, 3 fucking wives. Like, it's so good. It's on Hulu. I think it's called, like, The Wild Experience or something. Okay. It's so good, because this guy is such a piece of shit. Right. You will love to hate him. Like, I know you will.
All right. I'm excited.
And then, I don't know, I feel bad. I haven't watched Squid Games. We talked about that.
Yeah.
I'm a bad person, but I will watch it.
Yeah. You didn't watch You either, did you?
I didn't.
I'm excited to watch that. Tomorrow, like, I'm watching it.
Oh, is it like
I'm
the second season?
It's the third.
Oh, shit.
And I guess,
shit,
like, I've heard it's like the best one yet or
ooh,
something. Yeah,
shit.
So I'm excited.
Yeah. I still haven't seen it. I'm sorry. I'm a
it's
piece
pretty
of shit.
It's like weirdly, like, good, funny, like, exciting. Yeah. Yeah, it's just fucking weird.
And I'm sorry to, I have to admit something to you.
What?
Because you know I love How Did This Get Made?
Yeah.
Love it. But I had to listen to the episode about Malignant, even though I haven't seen the
oh,
movie
really?
Yet. And I'm still planning on watching it,
yeah,
actually. So, like, they spoiled the shit out of,
yeah,
it. But I was like, yeah, I'll still watch that. And then you telling me what you had said about it a couple weeks ago, about
like
how it's like,
horror.
It's supposed,
yeah,
to be campy. Like,
yeah,
do not. Yeah. Because, and they're so forgiving.
Yeah.
Like, they, even though some of the most horrible shit, they'll still be like, I would still recommend this to people. I think people would still enjoy it. So yeah, I'm sure they're gonna like.
It was literally, it's like hilarious because like obviously they're talking about like the head popping out of like the back of her.
Oh yes.
And like her running.
Oh yeah, spoilers.
It's so hilarious. There's like a part where she's like killing, but it's like her arms are backwards, and it's just like, dude, it was so fucking bizarre and so hilarious. Me and Dom were watching it just like laughing our asses off and just like so confused, like because like it's kind of like what the hell. And then the end scene where she's like in the like police department,
something about they were like, oh, I loved the fight scene, so I'm excited to see what these fight scenes
like,
are
literally they're like really intense, like you can tell, like I feel like it was like literally just meant for like straight up like almost like a joke, but like I don't know.
So, I didn't listen to the whole episode, but they pretty much, like, spoiled everything. Yeah. But, like, I'm still excited for it, so. so it sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, it literally was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Malignant. Like, if you're actually expecting, like, an actual horror movie, don't watch it.
Yeah. But they did say they were a little disappointed that it took so long to get to the plot twist. They were like, it was the last 10 minutes of the movie where it was just, like, and now it's over.
Yeah, it did take a long time. It was really bizarre and like, it was kind of horrible, but also like kind of like weird.
It's so bad it's good, but it was meant to be bad. Yeah. So like there's a difference.
Yeah.
Totally a difference.
Yeah, it wasn't meant to be like actually like serious, I think.
Yeah, there was a, I think it was Will Ferrell, I remember talking, or Kristen Wiig maybe. They did this crazy fucking movie. Something, it was like sort of like a Lifetime movie, and everyone, because they're comedians, like Kristen Wiig and Will Ferrell, I think it was Kristen Wiig, now I feel bad, but like they were filming it and they were doing it really seriously, like it was like a weird project where it was like it was meant to be done seriously, but the movie is not meant to be taken seriously. Really bizarre. But he was like, even the cameramen were like, I'm not really sure I understand what you're doing. Like, they're so confused.
That's funny.
Because Will Ferrell is telling Megan Knights, you know, everything's really loud with him and screaming Santa. And like, it's Will Ferrell. So, but yeah, apparently this movie exists out there. If you want to see Will Ferrell being like really awkwardly serious, so you can watch this movie, I think, with possibly Kristen Wiig. Who knows?
Weird.
Nothing better than suggesting a movie that you don't know the title of, you're not sure when it was made, you don't know who he starred with, and you're not really sure what it's about. I really sold it.
Funny.
Anyway, man, I should let you get out of here because you got to go to Denver. You got to get a fucking tattoo. And I am demanding you send me pictures throughout.
I will.
You should post it on the fucking Instagram.
Still need to fucking set it up.
Well, I mean, it's there. It exists. Yeah. You just have to put stuff on it.
I literally keep forgetting to do it and I just get like sidetracked.
I understand.
I leave here and then I'm like.
I don't do anything all day. I don't have a job. This is not the cleanest house. I still had to do last minute shit for my story.
The same thing.
But you have things that you do. Like, I don't know what my reasons are other than like too much marijuana and video games. No, I do stuff. I made a little house and little pumpkins.
You craft.
I cook dinner. I clean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, not well that I just admitted not that long ago. All right.
All right.
It's time you get off on the road. Yep. Drive safe.
And you get off. I was going to try and say something clever and it just didn't happen. And
No, right. I'd strong delivery. We're ending on that note.
All right.
Bye.